The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Cheaper than therapy. It's 45 minutes of Michaela Bowen and Tom King. Thanks to Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales. Hello, Bowie.
What's going on, Kingy? Best time of the week. Talk about therapy, far out.
Really?
Yes. Oh, we're here. And this, I just said to you offline, it's I journal a lot. And when I don't journal, I can get most of my internal thoughts out with you on here. I love it.
How often would you journal?
If I'm in a good routine every night.
Really?
Yeah.
And without taking us to your innermost thoughts.
No, please. This is what we're here for. I'm completely open to it.
What are you journaling about?
Oftentimes things that I can pick up throughout the day, like especially if it's an off footy day, oftentimes.
Which we are today.
Yes, oftentimes because it consumes a major part of my life, obviously with footy, like I will on a footy night try and debrief the session where I can. Again, if it's, if I have something in mind or our current form in terms of across the competition, I'm like is there little things that I'm picking up that I would want to work on? Or I do that a fair bit. I've got a footy journal as well. So I use the footy journal for meetings, post-game, pre-game previews. I love to write things because of how much my mind thinks. But when it comes to off-field, I try and strip it back a fair bit because I think I've recognised prior to my journaling that if I don't speak to people, then I don't get it out at all. And oftentimes I find speaking to people is something I'm working on in terms of trying to get that out. But I'm like, if I can try and control that myself. So for example, like today, I mentioned to you, King Ed, today has just been a lot of self-reflection, lots of conversations with friends that, I've probably had some internal thoughts about, and I'll jot that down tonight and just ruminate.
Did you journal on professional advice or did you journal on Bowie's advice? Starting.
I would say probably professional, actually. In a sense of potentially feeling like a lot of things that I was feeling were coming back in a bit of a cycle, like a four or five week cycle. Like I would feel something, not speak to anyone about it, not really process it myself, just let it sit there in my mind. I'd kind of, in a sense, I'd say I'd numb it a fair bit and just leave it as it was, and to the point where I'd forget about it eventually. I'd work my way through it, put music on as loud as I could in the car and try and forget about it, but or either channel it through footy, which I found I'd done a fair bit, but it would often come back up, rear its head in a month's time, and all of a sudden when that culminates with the fact that that's, you know, continuing throughout the year, it gets pretty heavy. So I try to get it out as things happen at the moment so that it doesn't build up too much.
Do you have a specific length you like to journal in terms of words or time, or can it be as basic
this.
As today was a good day?
100%. And oftentimes, King, like I said to you, like at the moment, if I'm completely honest, I'd be journaling 4 or 5 times a week. Whereas, like I said, if I'm in my ideal routine, it's every night where I can. But like also, it's something that I push myself with. I don't often find that it's something I sit down and I'm like, I can't wait to journal. Oftentimes I'll be getting to the night, I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it tonight.
Is it like brushing your teeth at night? You know, you'll always brush your teeth in the morning, but at night is...
Are you admitting that you brush your teeth once a day, King?
No, I'm usually a twice a day.
Yeah.
And
I get where you're coming
and
from.
And a flosser, but like sometimes I am a lazy, I've gone to bed and...
so comfortable.
My teeth will still be there in the morning.
I love that.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Please.
So when I was 11... School dentist used to come.
Yep.
And
Did you ever have Harold the giraffe?
Yeah, yes. That was life education.
Oh. That was in both of our eras. Sorry, but yes.
It was called life education, I think.
I don't know. I just remember him coming out the box.
Yeah.
He came out the box and I genuinely believed he was real for a good 5 years.
So went to the dentist,
our
school dentist, as an 11-year-old, had a couple of fillings.
Yep.
And the second filling they put in, they didn't numb properly.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I, from there, not fear,
yep.
But I put off dentists. So I missed braces probably as a result. My teeth are, they're not piano keys, but they're not great.
Yeah.
So I don't have your, you know, straight teeth. Yours are.
Have you noticed my chip?
Is that a footy injury?
No, I am convinced I've been born with it. Anyway, this is not about me, it's about you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway. Through my teens, managed to avoid the dentist. Probably wasn't high on my parents' agenda. Through my 20s, not really interested. Anyway, 28, 29.
Yep.
Eating, when I was working in the newsroom at K-Rock, so I was on working the brekkie shift,
yeah.
Eating a probably as healthy as I'll ever get, all bran for brekkie.
Love that.
And lost a filling.
Wait, that the filling's what they put into your tooth?
Yeah.
So that came out?
The mercury. So but this is in the old days. These mercury fillings. Oh, it came out. I had to ring a dentist.
Yeah.
So the closest dentist, which is no longer there, but is halfway up Marrible Street Hill.
Yep.
Actually, here's a plug for Busey, cross the road from Betty's, basically.
I haven't been there yet, so I need to. Sorry, Busey.
In what I like to call Pilates Row.
Yep.
Or your yoga row. Because
hot girl walk hot, street.
Yeah. And so I managed to get in to see them. Anyway, I was shitting myself.
I'd have been mortified.
I was absolutely, I'm going, what are they going to find with my teeth? Yeah. Anyway, they said, look, have you got any previous dental records? And I said, look, I haven't seen a dentist since 1990.
Since I was 11.
Yeah, so this is 2008.
Wow.
I haven't seen a dentist since 1990. Wow. And they've gone, well, you've dodged a bullet. Your teeth are immaculate for somebody who hasn't seen a dentist. And I was only a once-a-day brusher too.
You're kidding.
Yep.
So what are we questioning here? The science? The advice?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't mind those horrible red cans with lots of sugar in them. No free plugs for Coke. Oh, sorry, just did. And anyway, so went from a once-a-day brusher to flosser.
Yep.
Like not only just, you know, with your tape floss, but your floss handle and all that.
Yeah.
Got told go onto an electric toothbrush.
Yes, so, I'm on the same because I started peeling my gums back by brushing too hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, here I am at age 46, the twice a year visit to the dentist.
Yep. So you recovered.
Yeah.
Did you journal about that as an 11-year-old?
No. No, I did not.
Because I've learned that's how you process your feelings, Kingy. So
Should I write more often?
I mean, by the sounds of our conversations, you're not a man with abundance of time. So, you know, it's one of those things you can try to make time for, but, you know.
So, anyway, there's my – sorry. There.
No, don't be we've sorry. I love that.
We've gone from journaling to teeth.
To flossing. To fillings. I love that.
Which then means I've probably been able to put my children on a good path with their fangs.
For sure. Are you a coffee drinker?
No.
No, me either.
No, don't like hot drinks.
You've mentioned that. That's right. No tea, no hot chocolate.
No, for some reason. And that's something probably my wiring my brain just can't have the texture's probably not the right word. Just
The temp almost.
Yeah.
Like it's
I can't do I like hot spicy food, but but I don't like it as in temperature hot.
Yeah. The spice.
I can handle the spice, but the temperature, so I've got to wait for my sausage when I cook one on a barbecue to have sat there for 20 minutes before I eat it.
Really? Yeah. So you, genuinely, when it comes to food too, you'd rather it like lukewarm?
A bit cooler, yeah.
Kingy.
Yep.
Wow. I reckon if you were to ask the broad audience, that's a you'd be sitting on your own a little bit with that, surely.
I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so interesting.
Yep.
Wow.
So the journaling.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you get – so are you in a little – book or
I'm in a book. Yeah. And coming back to your question around how much do I write on that, oftentimes it depends on the headspace I'm in when I start to journal, and also depends how sore my hand gets.
Yes.
Goodness me, I write, and when I'm really feeling something, I'm like the pen. I go to Officeworks and buy like, I invest $5 in a special like ink pen.
Right.
Because I like it to be nice. That's what I mean. You invest in things that make good habits easier to do.
Somebody's being paid too much.
So I wanted to go in and, make sure it was somewhat more enjoyable to journal. But, depends on the topic for sure when it comes to how much I journal and how long it takes. And also I'm like, I have a threshold of how much my mind can take. I find often my mind is speaking so much faster than my hand can get onto paper.
Yep.
That's probably what's frustrating.
Do you sometimes when you journal, do you need to make sort of on scrap side notes about what you're going to journal about, or do you just free write?
Professionally, I was told as much as possible, because I feel like when it comes to my own internal dialogue, everything often seems to need to be perfect. Hmm. And so that's probably another reason as to why I journal, because I would like to be able to think whatever I'm thinking is okay, and I can write that out, and I don't have to worry about what anyone's going to think about that. I don't have to worry about how I'm making other people feel. They're not reading it. I often find myself critiquing what I'm writing as I'm writing it and wanting to scrap it out and rewrite again, but I have to consciously sit there and say no and be like, continue to write, don't cross it out. If the vocabulary was wrong, if the full stop was supposed to be a comma, just keep writing.
Yep.
That's not what it's like.
Yeah, it's not you're not putting Grammarly over your
No, right? And I think one of the most rewarding parts of my journaling process at the moment has been, I think it would be, you know, 5 or 6 years now that I've really been getting into it as much as I can, predominantly when my AFLW career started, would be looking back and reading, you know, some of the headspaces I've been in. And even then, because of the fact that I've been journaling through those years, I'm able to, in day-to-day, consciously be a bit more mindful of where my headspace is at now in comparison to where it was, which, you know, again, and as I'm saying to you, it's not something that I find necessarily really light and simple, and I can just, you know, as I mentioned, do it before I brush my teeth. It's something that I'm trying to be really conscious with, but in the big picture, it really makes a big difference for me.
Are you... How, what's the word I'm looking for? How private is your journal? Like, is it just you and that piece of paper and nobody else is?
Yeah, I think I would have to, sorry to cut you off, King. I think I would have to keep it mentally in my mind. I would have to write as if no one else is going to see it.
Yep.
So, like, in my mind, no one else is going to see it. But there has been a couple instances where there was previous relationship that I was really struggling with a concept that I couldn't quite get into words, and the only way that I could somewhat explain it to this person was to show them how I felt in that moment, because this is another situation, King, where I'm like, I didn't voice what I needed to at the time. I clearly wrote about it, which is like, it's good to come back to, and especially at the time of being like, what was I feeling then when this happened? And I read back on it, I'm like, no, regardless of how I'm feeling about it now, I really was feeling, you know, not great about the situation. And there's been a couple instances, and I think with a family member as well, that I've tried to explain something that I haven't quite felt I've found the words for. Yeah.
What did you write on Sunday night after 28 disposals? Career high, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kingy. Honestly, to speak about routine, that was, I didn't journal. But you know, I'm currently sitting here now. What is it? Thursday afternoon. I've done a couple this week so far, and speaking of, even when it comes to football and comes to form, I always remember thinking when I felt myself in some lower patches throughout my footy career, you know, struggling to feel like I felt a bit more at times like I was playing structural footy rather than just how Michaela Bowen likes to play footy. And I'll
like you were journaling.
Yes, absolutely. I will always go out of my way to try and fulfill my role and play in a structure for the team. But I think the best players have a really good balance of playing footy whilst doing what they need to for the team. And so I remember feeling when I was in those states of mind that, God, when I start to feel better about my footy and gain some consistency in that I really need to write about that. I need to write about what it feels like. I need to write about the conversations I'm having, where my head is at, what I'm doing throughout the week, because it was in those moments that I was really low that I couldn't figure that out, and I didn't have anything to come back to be like, wow, this is the kind of things that I need to get back to get myself back to this state of mind and hopefully play some better footy.
Are you playing the best footy of your career right now?
You're going to make me do this on live.
Yep.
Potty.
Okay, sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you most comfortable in your football skin than you've ever been right now?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I caught up with Nina Morrison this morning, and we, bless her, she made a comment about currently how I'm playing, and more than anyone, it means so much coming from Neens, far out. And I think the conversation I was having with Neens was similar to what I've just mentioned, Kingy, around at times playing on the wing. I played, as most of us do, growing up, played in the inside mid.
Yep.
Started AFLW, moved out into the wing, very structural role, very at times, if the ball comes out here, I'm here. If it doesn't, then I'm still here, but don't really feel like I can have an impact. And I feel like because of how much value I put on that role, and I still do, regardless of, you know, where I'm playing on the field, I think the high forward role now and the freedom that comes with that, I really challenged myself to, really, really push against the walls that can sometimes feel like they're closing in when you play a certain position on the footy field. And again, Neans and I spoke this morning around what we're doing internally at the club at the moment, and in the forward line specifically, getting Neans is playing some forward minutes. I'm playing deeper. Ashley Maloney's playing up higher. You know, and just the versatility that comes with that allows you to understand what other people go through and allows you to understand there's more to you in football than your position. I think I really struggled with that initially, and that's something, again, that I've journaled about a lot. But I've often thought, and I said to Neans this morning, that I'd love to have just one training session where, regardless of where you play, go and play somewhere else.
Yep.
Understand what it feels like to be the fullback. Yep. And that they're not just sitting out the back, you know, and the ball just comes down their throat. Or understand what it's like to be an inside mid where, yes, the ball's around you, but it's effing hard, might I add. I'm very grateful to be where I am right now, but I also, similar thing, I sit there with Mum and I'm like, I still feel like I just want to go further, and I want that for our group. So, again, sorry, that's what I was going to mention about with Neans, was that, you know, I'm appreciating where I'm currently at, but I'm wanting to ensure that that's still contributing to the way that we're moving forward as a group. Yep. So from a high forward perspective, like, if I'm able to transition up and down the ground and get involved more, that's all well and good. But if I'm not able to be there to be a target to kick to, then that's where I'm like, okay, well, I would like something to substitute so I can prioritise the team first. So
I'm very mindful, obviously, that you are a player at the Cats. You come and do this podcast separate to your football life.
Yep.
There's been a bit going down at the club in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Firstly, Bailey Smith and his interaction with Geelong Eddie photographer Alison Wines, which hasn't gone down very well, and nor should it have.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Scott's obviously had also an interaction with a female staffer from the AFL after the qualifying final. I don't want you to talk about... I suppose my question is, when you hear that and it's your club, what's your reaction to when your club finds itself, you know, the men's program deep in finals, the women's program finding its feet in a season?
Yeah.
How do you, and I won't ask you about the playing group because that's not fair, but you individually, when you hear that and you go, oh, God, this is not ideal.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you know, for the whole club, and not even just the club, for Geelong in general, the community, like, it's not ideal. I found myself thinking about that when we spoke about Isaac Rankin, and thinking about not only the Adelaide Football Club, but specifically to that, the instance of what happened, the women's playing group, to which there were, as we mentioned, so many players in that group who identify within the Pride community, and that are directly affected by what happened. And I guess when it comes to the nature of the incident with Bailey specifically, I think from a, you know, again, women in sport perspective, Alison, I've worked with her directly, and
Take that really good photo of you in the race?
She did, yeah. The one that she ended up getting published for the article with Adam Selwood, and that was, I think it was on our media day, which... Yeah, sometimes she's put me in some poses that I've been like, I don't trust you here, and the photos come out and it looks great.
No. Sorry, can I just, Alison was my wedding photographer.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
that's
so
beautiful.
I have to probably put that as a little...
100%. 100%. And that's what,
disclaimer.
And I only have... I was just about to mention, I feel like I have such a good connection with Alison personally. I've never been treated with anything but... respect, and if I've said no to something, it's been, you know, respected, and I've never felt pushed in that sense. And I think, again, not at all defending what happened specifically to Alison, and if she is by any means listening to this, I wrap my absolute arms around her and implore her to continue,
which a lot of people have,
for sure, which is a beautiful response from the community. I just think, regardless of who that happened to, I think the behavior is probably what gets me, and again, I it kills me that Alison was the one that received that. But I think, just in general, the understanding that at a session like that, regardless of how it's come across, and that's where I don't feel like I am in the right place to comment on, because I'm not sure of previous interactions, I'm not sure of the background by any means. But in the same sense, one is just as professional as the other. They're both rocking up on the day to do their job, and I think, you know, I think it would be a much bigger uproar if the other side were to have come at the athlete in that sense. And so I think, like you've mentioned, there's been a very very encouraging response and support for Alison in terms of, you know, wrapping their arms around her and encouraging her to continue to doing what she's doing. But in the same sense, I can imagine the media and the broadcast, if something were to ever happen the other way, would be...
Yes,
for sure.
So hypothetical, Bowie. Mm. Grand final week, Geelong AFLW are in. Michaela Bowen's got a slight back issue.
Yeah.
Being worked on in a similar vein. Mm. Alison's there, pings off a... Okay, actually, I'll put it another way. Mm. Male photographer is down there pinging off photos.
Mm.
You catch their eye. Mm. How are you reacting to that?
I'll give you two fronts, because my first front is I'll start with this front, because I think as I sit here, and yes, hypothetical, I'm putting myself in that position, I'm still not him. I'm still not Bailey Smith. I don't know what he goes through. I don't receive any sort of constant public pressure outside of
scrutiny.
I don't receive, and again, I choose to act in a certain way. I am very cautious of that, because I don't want to interact with the broader community in that sense. But I'm not Bailey Smith.
Yep.
I don't know, as I mentioned, what he goes through. But in the same sense, I would like to think that, speaking from my own perspective, as I've mentioned to you, I probably have the belief that we are all there to do our jobs, and if you know, predominantly I was there and really was against being seen, I would remove myself.
Yeah.
From a sense of, I'll go inside, and you know, and again, I don't know if I never want to come across assuming things that I don't know the information behind. I don't know if potentially Baz was unaware that it was an open session. I don't know how many details were known, but again, the behaviour in itself is not something that I sit with.
Yep, fair enough. We were supposed to do this at the start, and I didn't do it at the start. I've left it to 20 minutes in.
Yeah, what do we got?
What made you smile this week?
Oh, so you gave me a different prompt that I've already thought about, but I haven't thought about this. What made me smile this week? Do you know, I got a message from my little sister. She listened. Little Gracie last week, and I mentioned we're building those little Lego bears together.
So I've got to cut the swearing a little bit.
What's that?
I've got to cut the swearing a little bit. Me?
Yes. Well, I just said effing before, but I didn't actually come out with the word. What's made me smile this week? I really need to come more prep with this. Can I ask you first?
Yep.
Great. Go for it.
I found out this morning my gym's going back to being 24/7.
Yes. What gym are you at?
I'm at Derrimut's in Newcombe, corner of Coppards and Bellarine Highway.
Beautiful.
And they went to limited hours for 7 months and rocked up this morning at... And then the door was open at 5 to 6 and walked in the guy behind the jump, said, "Oh, just to let you know, we've gone back to 24/7. I'm calling you a beauty."
That's awesome. Do you have a little fob that gets you in and out?
No. They're staffed.
Oh, no way. 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
You're kidding?
Yep.
Wow.
So they've gone back.
It's a bit more personable. I've had a 24-hour membership before that you go, and I've, in my younger years, that I'm grinding at, you know, 11 p.m. and no one else is in there. and I've thought, God, this is lonely.
There's solitude though in that, though. Great solitude.
There is, but also, like, I'm alone at 11 p.m. at night. Like, I would love for a human being to be in here with
some
me.
Sort so of that's interaction. So that's what.
Made you smile.
I was struggling for. Well, no, things had made me smile this week. Finding out my little one wants to do little athletics again was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So she did all right in the school triple jump and got to, I think, stage out of the school into the next level. So she got to stage 3, basically, with the triple jump.
Wow.
Which, you know, for a 10-year-old to actually have the coordination to do the triple jump is quite amazing.
I have to tee to Neil, our new S&C, has just added triple jump into our prehab activation before training. We do a whole set of counter movement jumps, drop jumps, hops, all sorts to, you know, get the body ready. And she's just this week added triple jump. So your daughter needs to come in and help all of us out. We're shocking.
Yep.
The coordination, you should have seen T's face. I think she assumed we had a lot more background in that than we actually did. So
who's really bad? Come on.
I didn't see her do it, but I would say Gunj, to be honest. She's very coordinated and she can move. And that's sometimes where I'm like, when people can dance, I'm like, I find that's a coordination thing at times. But Gunj is just long and lanky. So I haven't seen her do it. But if I can get a video of her, I'll flick it through to you.
Yeah, so my daughter's got this.
That's awesome.
She's got into the triple jump. She's done really well. Fell short of progressing to the next level, but that's okay. She's not overly tall for 10 years.
I was going to say,
enough.
How tall is she?
Oh, I don't know. Taller than you, but everybody is.
Taller than me. Thanks, Kim.
She's 10.
Yep.
But yep. I said to her, I said, would you like to do a little athletics again? Because she did it as an under 7.
Yep.
4 years ago, whatever.
Yep.
And I was talking to my wife about it. My wife said, I don't know whether she thinks she has to do it because you want her to. Like, I don't make my kids do anything they don't want to do sport-wise. They've got to do sport,
yeah.
But they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They could do ultimate frisbee for all I care.
Yeah.
As long as they're doing something that is active.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lose too many young women out of sport.
For sure.
So,
especially at teenage age.
Correct. Yep. So my 14-year-old daughter loves her netball. Great.
Yep.
My 10-year-old loves her netball. And I said to her, I said, we'll get you there. We will make, you know, we'll.
So awesome.
So she's, I said to her, I said, do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And she said, yes. I said, do you want to do it because you feel like dad's putting pressure on you? And she said, no, you're not.
I was going to ask where, and again, this is, you know, the human mind, but seeing as you're so conscious about the fact that you feel like you will never force your kids, like, I know you mentioned that your wife asked, if that was a factor. Is that what made you question it more so than?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't, because I kept saying, I really like little ass.
I can't see that from you, Kingy, at all.
You know, every parent tries not to be that parent.
Oh, mum will be listening and agreeing with you, absolutely.
But I see my daughter who is, I could actually see her, but.
Yeah.
Like she's,
you see a lot in her.
She's coordinated and. Yeah. I could see actually being a really good heptathlete or something like that.
Yeah, wow. Like, what's heptathlete?
That's your 8 events.
Yeah, it's swimming, bike, run.
No. Or is that? That's a pentathlon.
Pentathlon, sorry.
Yeah,
what's
heptathlon? Heptathlon is your track and field events.
Okay.
All combined. And
right.
Yeah, and these are for people who are not outstanding at one,
yep.
But are really good.
At a lot of
and
them.
And I really, I like the little athletics vibe.
Yep.
I reckon it's a lot of fun. Tell you, I used to run into Simon Lloyd.
Yeah, no way.
Quite a bit Lloydy. Down there when he was still
a
footy boss
at
the Cats.
Yeah.
And, Saturday morning, and you'd be down there. Paul Hood, who used to coach the AFLW girls.
Yeah, I just missed him, Hoodie. Yeah.
His daughters are very talented athletes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd have catch-ups down there. It was great. So, and she said, yeah, she wants to do it again. So
it's good for everyone involved.
There's my Saturday mornings over summer. So that also made me smile.
You? I love that, King. That's awesome.
You've bought some time, buddy.
I have bought some time and I've thought of something.
What have you got?
My closest mate at the club, Kate Darby, unfortunate to be missing out a fair bit early in the season, did her calf in the North Melbourne. Mm. She doesn't even know how she did it. She's probably one of the most resilient and, you know, strong-bodied athletes that we have. I don't think she's actually had a soft tissue injury before.
Mm.
Gutted for her. She came out onto the track with us last week.
Good.
Last night. And was training with us. That definitely made me smile because her little girl, Ella, comes to the club with her every week, is often in, in with the nannies and getting looked after. But just to know, I think, at times how hard that would have been for Darbs to, to put in perspective her whole career as well and putting a lot more weight on what every single game looks like and wanting her to get involved and thinking of her little one as well, seeing her mum back out there very shortly will be awesome. So that's definitely what made me start smile this week.
So there's a 10-year age gap between you and Darbs.
Yeah.
Why are you drawn to each other?
Why are we drawn to each other?
Yeah, let's be honest.
Why do we act like we've known each other for longer than we have? That's the question. I find speaking about age, Sienna Tallarity, she's 19. Yep. She'd be one of the most mature 19-year-olds I've ever met. And we were actually speaking about this concept in recovery the other night. That I have personally, I feel like age has, and again, do not let this come across the wrong way to you because I understand my youth in terms of not taking it for granted. But I think age has frustrated me often in terms of the associations as to what comes with which age.
Yep.
Sienna, as I mentioned, she mentioned to me, I think, I said, I'm 24, she's 19. She's like, wow, my brother's, you know, your age and you guys are just so different. Like, so different. And I'm like, Sienna, but the amount of people that be saying the same thing about you, you're 19 years old and she's, you know.
She'd be different to most 19-year-olds.
100%.
Yep.
And I related to Sienna in that sense around you know, just at times being caught up in some of the assumptions of what you will be like at a certain age and how much that used to frustrate me because I'm like, a lot of the time at school, my pupils would be acting a certain way or, and you would get, you know, older in age, my brothers and my brother's friends, and comments around like, it's, don't worry about it, like, they're only young, like, I'm young too.
Yes.
Like, I'm young too, and I'm choosing to go about it a different way. And yep. I've always thought that about Sienna, is that, you know, she could be going about things very differently, but she's choosing not to, which is similar to what we spoke about before, you know, like, there's always a choice in terms of, I'm going an absolute wormhole here, but that's cool, because I'm going to come back to the fact of explaining as to why Darbs and I get along so well is because of, probably of that fact. I find, I just really enjoy the steadiness of her. I feel like she was one of the first, alongside Claudia Gunjaka as well. I will never miss out on her. She's the first one to message me when I got over here.
Yep.
But Kate Darby, I really feel, has been family for me over here, alongside, like, her, Darbs in herself, but her family too, her partner Daniel and her little one Ella have felt like my, Victorian family for a lot of the time. Yeah, and I just find her steadiness, her calmness, her, she has a wicked sense of humour, which I
really
love. Yeah, wicked sense of humour. She's just a beautiful person that, I think at the time, even at West Coast, I found myself really connecting with, some of the older age group as well. I just loved speaking about what they were speaking about, not what my age group was speaking about at times. So Darbs is definitely one of those that, similar to what I just mentioned with Asking, like, I felt like I've known her for a lot longer than I have.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
I love her.
You're travelling this weekend.
Yep.
Is there anybody you won't sit next to on the plane, or you go, oh, God, am I going to put up with them for an hour?
Do you know, I know she knows that I would say this, but I don't want to say it because I don't want her to feel like I always say it. But I'm going to say it.
Say it. Say it!
Who would you think that I'm about to say?
Gunj.
She spoke to you recently in a very hilarious manner.
Oh, Kate Sermon.
Kate Sermon.
I saw Kate yesterday.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, she walked past me. Now, whether she didn't see me or...
Oh, no way. She was too embarrassed from the last time. I was going to say, Spud doesn't often get embarrassed, but when that... Yeah. Anyway.
That little bit, yeah. So look, I can't say too much, but for those who listen to the earlier podcast with Dan Lowther and Spud and I...
Yeah.
Spud said something.
Had you both absolutely shook.
And in tears of laughter that never saw the light of day in the podcast.
Yes.
But did find its way somehow mysteriously into Dan Lowther's email inbox.
I got a text message from Kingy and he said, let me know when you know. Something along the lines of that. And as soon as we found out what Spud said. Anyway, I've never seen her that embarrassed, which she usually does. She usually knows. She knows what she's like. That's what I'm saying. She wouldn't mind me saying this.
Yep.
She knows what she's like. But that was one moment that I'd never seen her face so red. But I think Spud and I have such a beautiful connection because we both play a very similar role. We're always, you know, connected on field, speaking about everything off field. Similar thing, similar age gap as well, but like she just talks and talks and talks. And I'm a headphone, a Kingy on the plane, like,
yeah. Own space.
I've got my Beats there, I've got my movies lined up. And if I'm like sitting there with a movie playing, don't have me on the shoulder. Like, she just has so many intrusive thoughts that I, anyway,
she needs to journal.
I was just about to say that. Do you know what I do? I might do. I might get a book and a pen, and when she taps me, I'll just give her that write it down.
Get a journal with Kate on it, or Spud or something
like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take it with you on your carry-on.
It'll save me.
Especially to the trip to Perth later in the season.
Yes, yes.
Although, are you going early to catch up with family?
I'll probably stay. I'll head over at the same point and potentially stay a night longer over in Perth. Yeah, but
maybe I should come to Perth for the weekend.
Come on. I'll show you around. For sure.
We could do some interesting social content over there. I'm actually, and I'm booked in, I'm going to play golf for 4 days.
You're kidding, whereabouts?
I go to up the Murray, I go to Cobbenburruga. I stay in an on-site,
don't know where that is.
Right, okay. have you ever been to the Murray River? No.
No.
Oh, God.
Kingy, we do this every week.
I need to take you.
We do this every week. Yes,
you should come with my family.
Great. We can talk about having another family over here. Let's do it.
Yeah, right. So Cobbenburruga, about a four-hour drive from here.
Yep.
You go up the Hume as if you're going to Sydney.
Hume Highway, I know that.
Yep. You turn off at Benalla. You can turn off at Shepparton, go that way, or you can turn off at Benalla and come in that way. Doesn't either way. So, yes, 4 days golf. the weekend because we're not. So we got we start AFLW next week. Our broadcasting.
Oh no way!
We pick up next Thursday night.
Awesome.
That's why I want you to be 3-3.
Yes, against Hawthorn.
Big second half of the
far
season.
Out.
Rocky and I.
Yay!
So looking forward to that. Sorry, what were we talking about? I completely.
We were speaking about.
Spud Journal.
Yes.
Right.
And we got onto the Hume Highway.
That should be. See, here we go. This is our. We're thinking too fast.
Yes.
And we need to write it down.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. Do you get your own room? You don't
share. Yes, we do. We didn't used to, but now we do.
Did you ever have anybody you'd share with?
Darves, I probably would. Because, again, like I've mentioned, I think there's a difference between, like, the people closest to me are aware of kind of. And so am I, their personal differences around, like, how people operate.
Idiosyncrasies.
Thank you. Idiosyncrasies. That's new for me. I'll hold on to that. You watch me come out with that next potty, and I'll catch off guard with it. In terms of, like, both Spud and Darbs know what I'm like.
Yep.
In terms of, I get into the thing, and most times out of 10, I just need my own space. I need to decompress. Darbs will act differently, and Darbs will either remove herself or allow me to do that, or, like, sit on her bed and just do her own thing. Spud just doesn't do that. No. Spud, it just, you know, I love her dearly. But Darbs is someone that I absolutely think I could room with. I roomed with Becky Webster a couple of times. She was good fun. It's more the the pregame because girls have such different pregame rituals, pregame bathroom schedules.
Yep,
that's a problem, big problem. No one wants to be stuck in there while people are doing their hair and others have got to empty themselves, and it's just horrible. You know what I'm talking about. It's just horrible.
Congratulations for using the term empty
themselves. Empty themselves. I didn't know how to rightly put that on live potty. But, yeah, it's always – I definitely prefer it in a sense of, you know, having our own space and own time.
Fair. I was going to talk to you – actually, no, I'm going to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about journaling, and you talk about sometimes, you know, you journal like emotions can be involved in your journal.
Mm.
You love your music.
Love.
Have you got a go-to song when the world seems like it's not closing in, but it's just you're upset with the world that you go to just listen to?
Kingy. You come with no preparation sometimes though. So either I'm going to think of this for 5 seconds and think of one, or it's going to be my homework because I get homework every week.
Okay, really. This is your homework.
This will be homework for next week.
Can I give you mine?
Yes, go.
So mine's In My Tree by Pearl Jam.
I knew it was going to be Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but yes. In My Tree. Yep.
In My Tree. Okay, so homework, I will listen to that and I will come back to you with the song that, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I am very, as I mentioned to you, I think my day-to-day is rap, Drake, Travis, right. But I'm very deep with my music. Yep. So I'm probably struggling with that I have too many.
Safe Space song.
Yeah, I love that.
So I go to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool.
That is I'm frustrated about something.
Yeah.
That maybe I'm being irrational about.
But you just need to feel it.
But I need to feel it.
Angry, yeah. Sad.
Sometimes there's a great saying or a great speech. There's a bloke called Jim Valvano who was a college basketball coach in the US. He coached a Cinderella team called the North Carolina State Wolfpack. They won the national championship in 82 or 83 in the US. There's a great documentary on it called Survive in Advance, because that was his motto. In the NCAA tournament, you win, you keep going. Yep. You lose, you're out. Yep. Survive in advance.
Yep.
But he died. He gave one of the best speeches at the ESPY Awards, so ESPN's awards. He was riddled with cancer. And he talks about having, you know, emotions move to tears every day. You should spend time in thought. You should, you know, you should laugh and stuff like that. That's a heck of a day. And And that's where I think you should never be, when you are upset with something, you should never be upset with yourself for being upset.
I struggle with that so much. The judgment of the feeling is often
But we're human beings and we're wired differently. Now, I only did one semester of psychology at uni 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But we are. We're all wired differently.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what we feel, and this probably comes back to the Bailey Smith and Chris Scott stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That not defending what they did, but just in that moment, the way their wiring was working led them to sometimes.
That's what I'm saying, Nicky. I don't think I'd ever defend the behavior or the action, but I sit here and I can't help myself sit here and think what it would feel like for him, for Bailey Smith.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that I am not living that. So I can have my opinions and I can very much have my defense for Allison, but I don't know what he's going through. I don't know if he'd something shocking had happened to him that morning or, you know.
Yep.
You never really know what's going on with someone.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. Next week, that's your homework.
Great. I'll be there.
What do you want to do? Bowie's Best or Cat Who Caught Your Eye first? I reckon I can guess the cat that caught your eye.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with that then.
Did she wear number 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
She did. Jackie Parry. Jackie Parry had 2 goals. I asked her if she kicked 3. It was 2. She kicked 2 goals, 3. And she was beating herself up about that all game. And I went over to her and I'm like, Jackie, you are playing such a good game. Do not get caught up on the fact that you've missed a couple. Like, it's irrelevant. How many disposals?
17.
17 disposals, 2 goals.
9 marks.
9 marks.
Yep.
And so that's a massive RFI for us, not only in forward 50, but around the ground.
Yep.
Jackie just couldn't drop him. Jackie went out of her way in whether it was the first or second quarter. We often do to put a +1 behind the ball. And Jackie is usually our girl when it comes to personnel of doing that. Mm. She didn't wait for a coach. She didn't wait for a call. She went and did it herself. That is something that I've always admired, Jackie's leadership. She's different in the way she goes about it. I would say a bit more subtle, a little less vocal, but very much lead by action. And just to be able to take the game on like that and make a decision like that, and not only with the decision, just have an impact. She came out of nowhere, took 2, you know, marks in a deep D50 and then continued to do that in forward 50 as well. So she's just, I think she's had a ripper start to the season, Jackie, and is clearly continuing just to progress on that.
Bowie's best.
I'm always wanting to know what you think, but I'm going to tell you me. I went Mia King. She had, and you know why? This is why I was going to mention this at the start around what my ideal output would be. And I would like to state for the record that I really get frustrated with statistics often because I just feel like they're spoken about so much and there's so much more to footy. But when it comes to statistics, the fact that Mia King had 32 something with the clearances, but 10 tackles.
10 tackles, correct.
Give it to
eight,
me.
8 clearances, 10 tackles.
I was going to say to you, King, I didn't get to watch too much of the AFLW this week, but I went back and watched North's game. And I also just looked across the board to see what some of the numbers were. But I just, you know, to be able to have such an impact offensively, but also, you know, carry such an enormous weight for the team defensively with the tackle pressures, amazing.
We got some questions too off our big footy.
Yay. Love this.
Does Bowie follow other motorsports? Or is it just F1 for the Hamilton factor?
I would say, great question. Clearly, to whoever has asked this, I'm obsessed with Lewis Hamilton. I will acknowledge that.
The Ranger is his name.
The Ranger. Yeah. I love the F1. I watched a little bit of the MotoGP, but not enough to... I would probably say I would watch anything that's on. So give me KO. I will be clicking on the motorsport section, NASCAR, MotoGP, the Porsche Super Cup, whatever it is. Whatever it has an engine in it, I will watch it. But I wouldn't say I'm as in-depth involved in the narrative than I am with F1.
All right. So just said, wondering if she saw Scotty McLaughlin's podium at the Suzuka 1000km Enduro in the Corvette GT on the weekend.
I didn't, but I wish I did. The Ranger, I'm sorry.
And if you follow the Aussie V8s.
No, I don't. Okay. But clearly I've got some more homework to do.
And then it just says maybe back when they raced the real V8 Ute, she might have had some interest in a different category.
Yeah, right.
They used to do
V8. I didn't know that.
Falcon and Commodore Utes.
No way. Yeah. What year were that? Would that be?
I don't know when they stopped. It probably stopped when we used to stop doing Falcons and Commodores.
Yeah, I'm just interested because it, you know, it'd be interesting to see and look back if there's any vision of it.
And
it'd be awesome.
There will be.
Very, very cool.
Actually, I reckon there was a rugby league player in the 90s called Jack Elsgood, played for Manly in the National Rugby League, or it's Forerunners.
Yep.
And I reckon he ended up racing V8 Utes.
No way. Can you imagine racing a Ute?
Yeah.
That'd be so, surely they're drifting around the corners.
All right, a bit of Tokyo Drift style.
That'd be wicked. I love that.
And this is from Catters07, Bowie.
Hello, Catters07.
Loving the AFLW Cat Attack podcast. You both sound like you've known each other for years. Girls are starting to perform better after a sluggish start. Hopefully can roll through the rest of the year. Well, that's what we hope too.
Love that. To both sides of it, Kingy. You know I love chatting to you and it rolls so easily. And, I think, obviously, as we know, 0-3 start and now we're... 2 and 3. Hopefully continue that streak again against Port Adelaide. But as we mentioned, Kingy, like, it's no easy feat. They've obviously just come off the back of beating Melbourne, who, the entire competition and community would know, like, they're an enormous threat, and ups to Port Adelaide for getting it done. But we're definitely not going in with any high expectations this weekend. We'll do what we need to do to get the job done.
You're a star. Good luck.
Thank you, Kingy. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.